following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. It's always a joy to hear about the different ways as a church we are able to serve our community and serve one another. It's testament that of the working of Christ in us, because without him, none of this could be possible. So this morning, I had the opportunity and the privilege to kind of close out our sermon series on the Holy Spirit. And last time, I didn't burn the house down, so I was given an opportunity to come back. So so this morning, I guess if we're going with our Arise theme, rise, not arise, the last letter is the letter E, and E stands for empowerment. So what comes to mind when you first think about empowerment? We kind of live in a time where empowerment is almost an American right, right? Like a lot of people right now are vying for their ability or their power, their privilege to do what they want, do what they feel led to do. It could be anything from wanting to marry who they want to marry, or it could be anything from carrying a gun wherever they want. It could be putting your kids into a school that you want them to go to so they can have a great education to grow up, to kind of live this American dream. However, the thing I love about the Bible, the thing I love about Jesus, is that he turns things on their head, right? And so this morning, we're going to be looking at how the Holy Spirit empowers the church to love like Jesus. So this morning, we're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians. And in order to get the proper perspective and the proper context of the passage before we dive in and see how can we apply it to our lives, we need to first see why it was written, who wrote it, the purpose of the letter originally. So the book of 1 Corinthians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth roughly 50 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So we're looking at 53 to 54 AD, not long after that. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth while he was in Ephesus. And he was writing this letter because he heard of division in the church. He heard of issues in the church and problems within the church. But before that, before we dive any further, we need to understand this type of writing. So what we're reading this morning is a letter. And we all know what letters are. We have emails, we have mailboxes. So when we read any of the letters in the New Testament, it's like going to your neighbor's mailbox, opening the mailbox, tearing open their letter, reading it, and then going to your neighbor and telling them what was written. Like, The letter's original intent was not to be written to you. However, that does not mean that we cannot glean from how the Holy Spirit worked in Paul as he wrote this letter. So the church was not written to us, Life Connection Church Northeast. It was written to the church in Corinth. However, like I said, thankfully, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God speaks through his word, not just in 54 AD, but today and for the age to come. So, the main issues in the church of Corinth, like I said, they were dealing with was division over their teachers. So, some would say, I follow the teaching of Paul. Some would say, I follow the teaching of Apollos. Some would say, I follow the teaching of Jeff or something. Like, there would be teachers that some people would align with. And it's kind of a political thing, right? Like, oh, I follow the political opinions of this person. Oh, I follow the political opinions of this person. So this created division within the church. So I guess to kind of bring it to our context, it'd be like half of the church going, oh, I only follow the teachings of Mitch. I don't follow the teachings of Chris. Or the other half saying, I only listen to Chris. I don't listen to Mitch, right? They were divided over the teachings of man rather than being unified under the body of Christ. So in the grand scheme of God working through the church for the advancement of his kingdom, the gospel and the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, this division was an issue, was a problem. So more specifically this morning, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, exploring how Paul addresses this issue, how he solves this issue, if you will. So if you would, please stand with me as we read God's word. I know if you guys were panting, you might be a little sore, so I intend to hear some grunts and some aches and some pains. I meant to look and see what page this is in the Pew Bible, however I failed you, and I forgot to do that. 959. So if you will, stand with me as we read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. You may be seated. So, my wife and I, Megan, tend to have this discussion over love languages, right? Like, some people, time is their love language. Some people, it's words of affirmation. And sadly for me, it's gifts. So I like to get things. However, I'm sure a majority of you, if not all of you, can empathize with me in receiving a terrible gift. I mean, Christmas, birthdays, just random times where a friend sees something in a shop, they're like, oh, I thought you would love this, and then they show it to you, and you have no idea what it even is. So, maybe it's an aunt, you know. I think it's Christmas morning. You're with your family in a nice, cozy little living room, exchanging presents with one another. Your aunt, your parents are there, maybe your siblings. Your aunt hands you this package, this aunt you haven't seen in a year's time since last Christmas, you know. You might get a phone call from her, but you don't really see her too often. So she hands you a gift. And the gift is misshapenly wrapped, so you question what it is. As you take the gift from your aunt, you turn to your mother, her sister, who gives you that look, looks right through you, and tells her to say, thank you. And you turn to your aunt, faking a smile, and say, thank you. And so, and this is the worst kind of scenario, where you don't only receive the gift, you know, with hesitance, but she encourages you to open it up in front of her. We've all been there. They're waiting. The gift giver is waiting for you to react in a way that you don't believe you're going to react. So you open the gift. You undo the bow. You tear open the wrapping paper. And as you do so, you slowly make out what your aunt got you. And it's a pair of generic brand socks, knee high, two sizes too big. And you fake your smile. You tell her thank you. And you give your aunt a big hug and, you know, wipe the sweat from your brow and are thankful that you made it through another Christmas. But sadly, before, you didn't have to worry about these socks. Now you have to treat them as if they're the best thing that has ever happened to you. So unlike the receiving of terrible gifts from people, family, friends, we follow Jesus, the one who loves and gives amazing gifts. So the Holy Spirit, he empowers the church to love like Jesus for the knowledge of spiritual gifts. So again, as we go back to our text, Paul begins in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. He begins this passage of scripture by telling the church in Corinth that he wants them to know the correct beliefs about these spiritual gifts. He uses word language to communicate that these things are important, that he wants to make sure that this church knows the truth about them. So as Life Connection Church, we need to have the same disposition as we approach not only spiritual gifts, but other passages of scripture where a bunch of different people have different opinions about these things. So I urge us to be patient as we approach this text, with humility and reverence approach this text, because some may shy away from these topics and because there are multiple interpretations, like I said. We must seek godly wisdom through prayer. We must be earnest and with grace continue to discuss these things. Now, specifically for Life Connection Church, we believe that the spiritual gifts have continued on from the time of the apostles because the scripture simply does not say that these things have not stopped. However, we believe that the purpose of these gifts is to not just be practiced, but also to be practiced in the church with love and with grace. So as Paul begins his discussion of the spiritual gifts with reverence, so should we. Now, the Holy Spirit empowers the church to love like Jesus also for the knowledge of our identity in Christ Jesus. So, as a church well known for its division and its struggles with being united, Paul does this miraculous thing, and he's an amazing writer. He unifies this church under their past identity. He says, "You were pagans. You were once led astray by mute idols." And I also believe that he refers to the idols that they worship as mute, because unlike when they served the idols who were mute, now they follow a God who, through all things, has spoken everything into existence. So again, Paul says that unlike the mute idols that led them astray, that the Holy Spirit has now dwelt inside them as they are the temple of God, just as we are the temple of God in which the Holy Spirit dwells. And Paul says that anyone who has the indwelling nature of the Holy Spirit cannot call Jesus accursed. And I believe he does this in order to highlight the effects of the Holy Spirit, to say that the Holy Spirit's purpose is to point to Jesus, right? Because without Jesus' life, testimony, sacrifice on the cross, without his burial and without his resurrection, we would not have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as a body of believers here, we should seek to be unified. Now, we could be unified just like the world does under political ideology. We could be unified under life experience. We could be unified under our skin color. We could be unified under a majority of things. However, I believe the boldness of the gospel, the transparent nature of the gospel, the power of the gospel is most magnified when a group of people who follow Jesus come together as a local church from all kinds of different backgrounds, ethnicities, from every type of life experience, and the only thing they have in common is Jesus and their love for him. So as a church, let us be a church that shows grace when we find conflict with one another outside of the things that pertain to Jesus, to God, to the Holy Spirit. And this brought up a conversation I had with James a while back about these things. We were playing disc golf. I love frisbee golf. And so we were talking about how much more so that to the world that is so divided, like I said, upon these other little tribalisms and all these different things, how much more so to the world will it look for people from all different types coming together and being unified under Christ? That is testimony to the gospel. So this will magnify the effects of the gospel. By using the church filled with people from different backgrounds and upbringings, but under the same Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit empowers the church to love like Jesus. So the effects of the gospel, the effects of the working of the Holy Spirit because of Jesus Christ works through us and empowers us to serve others. So despite the evident differences in the Corinthian church to the many different ways the Holy Spirit works, Paul tells them that the many gifts and services Jesus' followers receive all come from the same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit may work in a multiple different ways, just as all of us have different, come from different areas of life, come from different ages, different, like I said, skin color. However, we come together under the same body, the same blood of Christ. And the effects and the workings of the Holy Spirit all come from the same Spirit. All these different ways the Holy Spirit can work come from the same Spirit, not different spirits. So Paul, he intentionally uses this language to unify the church in Corinth under the same God, despite the many ways the Spirit of God works. So as Life Connection Northeast, are we celebrating the diverse ways the Holy Spirit is working among us? The Holy Spirit may work through some to lead. The Holy Spirit may work through some to teach, some to practice hospitality. And I'm not saying that there is no benefit for all of us to grow in these areas, at least to some extent for some of us, in all of these things. But as a church, let's regularly celebrate how the Holy Spirit works uniquely through each and every one of us while reminding ourselves that we are unified under Jesus, who first loved us. So let's stop critiquing one another, if we are, in order to tear down. Rather, let's build one another up with our words and actions. I mean, it's evident with the building of the ramp. It's evident with a bunch of partners of a church going to the Carltons and painting. I mean, I've noticed that it's, you know, we're not supposed to build ourselves up. Let's build each other up. So it's easy, like, let's encourage one another. Hey, that ramp was awesome. You guys took time out of your day to go do that. Hey, the painting, some of you gave up your whole Saturday to go do that, to love on one another. Like, let's encourage each other in that. Because we are only able to be so selfless because Christ was selfless for us. And so when you see the Holy Spirit work in someone, point it out. Tell them that God has given them a gift and that they should steward it well. A personal testimony for me, I was in college several years back. I was teaching our college ministry over something, I don't remember. But afterwards, one of my friend's wife, who's also my friend, came up and told me that I have a gift for teaching. And in that that one sentence, it compelled me to seek out and to steward that gift well. And to see that she's built me up so that not just so I could build myself up, but so that God could rightly work in me for the building of his kingdom. So the Holy Spirit enables us to witness the workings of the Spirit so that we may lovingly respond to his working in other people with words and actions just as Christ did in his 3-year ministry on earth. Now the Holy Spirit also empowers the church to love like Jesus for the use of these spiritual gifts. Paul tells the Corinthian church the various ways the Holy Spirit works through the local church. Some of these may seem foreign to you, such as the speaking of tongues or through prophecy. As a church, we believe that God cannot be limited just because of our opinions. We go to Scripture and see what Scripture says, and through the counseling of the Holy Spirit, we interpret the Scripture well, rightly dividing it as a word of truth. Now, the spiritual gift's purpose is to bear witness to the love of God that he has shown us through Jesus Christ. So the overflowing love that God has shown us through Christ, the Holy Spirit enables us, empowers us, equips us with the ability to overflow that same love in practical ways for our church, for our neighborhood, for our city, for the nations. Therefore, going back to our actions and words towards one another, they are testimony of Christ's personal ministry in you. Building the ramp, going to paint. I mean, those are some practical ways that, you know, solely because of Christ have we fostered hearts of selflessness, hearts that seek to serve one another, to go and do those things, to sacrifice. And however, Without Christ rising from the grave, all of this is meaningless. Like, from the world's perspective, going to paint a house for somebody all day Saturday or going to build a ramp is pointless. Like, what are you doing? You should be, you know, using your time for yourself. The local church, however, must build an identity upon the bedrock of Christ and his life and his resurrection. Christ gave his life as a ransom for many. So should we as a local church. And every time Christ performed a miracle or prophesied, he always accompanied it with actions of love and or selflessness. Christ has set the example for Life Connection Church to celebrate and to use our gifts, not for selfish gain, rather to serve one another just as Christ loved us, because the Holy Spirit empowers the church to love like Jesus. Now, the teachings of 1 Corinthians, I believe 12, 1 through 11, can be illustrated with this balloon metaphor. It might be silly, but I think it's a beautiful way to kind of put to image what Paul is teaching here. So imagine we have a balloon, right? You go to the dollar store. Megan actually bought balloons, but I thought that was a little too much. So you go buy a balloon. The balloon, walk with me here, is our body. The balloon is, however, the balloon's intention is to be filled with air. So in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, when he created humankind, he walked with them. Just as the temples of the Old Testament were filled with the Holy Spirit, the tabernacle, the Spirit of God, our bodies were built for the purpose of the Spirit indwelling within us. So before a balloon is filled with air, it's just, I don't know, just a piece of rubber. However, when you fill the balloon with air, it takes shape. Now, in the Hebrew, the same word for breath is the same word for air, for the Spirit of God, is the same word for the wind that blows through the trees. So just as our mouths blow air into the balloon for it to take shape, so the Christ follower becomes alive and takes shape through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is God's breath, and the Holy Spirit imparts spiritual gifts. So balloons float with helium. We give oxygen, so a balloon naturally would not float. But say I have one of those big things that fills it up with helium. So the balloon just floats. So say we're outside and we just let the balloon float. It goes away. You're like, man, what was the purpose of that? So you tie a string to the balloon. And you tie the string to a hand, maybe the hand of a child or the hand of a 28-year-old man with the heart of a child. And so the string that ties the balloon, the Christian life, the follower of Jesus, filled with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is tied. The string is the love that tethers the balloon to another person. And that string, without the string, the balloon would simply float away, like I said. The Holy Spirit would truly, through Scripture says, fill the body, give these spiritual gifts of teaching, preaching, prophesying, tongues, whatever they may be. However, without love, without the love that Christ has shown us, tethering our lives to one another, it's meaningless. Because God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, not for our own selfish gain, not so that I can build my kingdom up, rather to love others, to proclaim the gospel, to see the kingdom of God built up. And so without the string tying the Christian to another, it's meaningless. So once we begin following Jesus and place our faith in him alone, we become filled with the Holy Spirit. Before we are filled with God's Spirit, we are spiritually deflated, just like the balloon. We are spiritually dead. However, once the Holy Spirit fills our bodily temple with his presence, our physical body takes shape and manifests God's presence, and in this case, an inflated balloon. And like I said, if it was filled with helium, it would float away. It would not achieve its full purpose. Now the intention of the balloon is to be filled with air, with helium, with breath, to be enjoyed by the one holding it. And without being held with string by the one holding it, it has not achieved its full purpose. Just like the string that anchors the balloon to the hand who holds it, the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts being practiced among us, acts as a connection between the Christian filled with the Holy Spirit and his or her brother or sister in Christ. So without the string tethering the balloon to a hand, it would float away and be useless to the one holding it. Just like Paul is getting to, the Spirit works in many ways. However, the Spirit, all those gifts come from the same Spirit. We are united as a local church, a local body of believers, only because of Jesus. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent the counseling nature of the Holy Spirit. He told his students that it would be better for him to go up and send the counseling of the Holy Spirit rather than to be for him to dwell among them. Why? Because God intended for us as Christ followers to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not for selfish gain, rather to seek to serve and to love one another because the Holy Spirit empowers the church to love like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you are all powerful. You are all knowing. Father, you are filled with wisdom. You are wisdom, yet so much more. You are selfless, and your selflessness was evident through coming down, taking on flesh, and dwelling among us as Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, we confess that without Jesus, all of this would be meaningless. We're fools. We should be pitied. However, I am thankful that the evidence of Christ's resurrection is found in the Holy Spirit, whom he sent. Father, that now as a body of believers here at Life Connection Northeast, we can seek to steward the gifts well that you have given us for the service of others, for the proclamation of the gospel, for the building of your kingdom. And Father, let us remind ourselves that our gifts are purposeless without the love that Christ first shown us. He did not just empathize with us. He did not just tell us that he was sorry. He came down and lived among us, dwelt among us, ate with us, broke bread with us. Father, that he was selfless up to the point of being nailed to a cross, and that he was buried, and on the third day we now have eternal life because he rose from the grave. He set the pace. He is the author of our faith. And the Holy Spirit counsels us as we walk this race, as we run this race. Father, let us remind ourselves that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Father, let us remind ourselves that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts for the purpose of serving one another and for loving one another and for testifying to the good news of the gospel of your grace. So Father, as a church, let us live this week with intentionality, with wisdom, with discernment, and how to steward our gifts well and how to build one another up with our words and with our actions. Father, let us remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit empowers us so that we can love just like Jesus. I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.